Today we're starting a new lesson called Great Characters of the Bible, learning how they dealt with fear and stress and struggles and heartaches and success. They were people just like us, so maybe see how they made it through with God's help. Well, this week we are starting the new lesson, and we are going to be doing Adam today. So next week we're going to do Eve, so you can start working after you get home from church and start looking up Eve and everything you can put on. Just using. But no, we are going to just take different characters of the Bible. Like I said, this week is Adam, next week is Eve, and then the next week will be Cain, Abel, and Seth, which were the sons that were named of Adam and Eve's kids. But anyway, to understand how we all got here and what it really means to be born again is why, and really why there's so much death and destruction in this world that we live in today, goes back to the very beginning with Adam. And so as we learn the different characters of the Bible and learn the plans that God had for Adam, we will kind of see how, and you all know this, you've been in the Bible, you've studied Adam and Eve and the creation before. It's just good, sometimes good to go over those things again and see what God had in store for Adam and how they messed up. Kind of shows us that we all probably mess up too. Once daily maybe. Maybe twice daily. Who knows? But as a Christian, and as myself as a Christian, I believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible. I believe when they say God made the earth in 6 days, He made it in 6 days. And when He made Adam on the sixth day, He made man on the sixth day. It didn't take Him thousands of years to do it. My God's great. He's a lot greater than some Buddha or Muhammad or any of those. And the account of Genesis tells us very specifically that, and without any other interpretation, that both man, the heavens, the earth, and all creation were all created by the Lord. It just didn't happen. There may have been an explosion when God said, "Let there be light," and his voice rung out through the eternities or throughout the universe, and it may have been pretty loud, a pretty big bang, but just us starting from a little bitty amoeba and growing up looking like a frog and having a tail and then being bent over and breaking our tail off, that did not happen, people. Now, it may have happened with some of your ancestors, but it did not happen with mine, okay? But anyway, you find that account that of all this in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, up through 5 is what we will be studying in the next couple of weeks. Tell me a little bit, though. What do you know about Adam? He was made in God's image. Very good. He was just like a little innocent child. Yes. Well, let's find out a little bit what it said about Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being." God formed him. He had putty and clay and formed him. How old do you think Adam was when God formed him? He was an adult. He wasn't some baby that grew up. No, he was an adult. In the Bible, a lot of times a person becomes a man at 12, or they have their Jewish customs. But if you look at a lot of things, if you look at Jesus Christ, he started his earthly ministry at 30 years old and died when he was 33. So somewhere probably you would think, you know, 25 to 30 probably is, you know, just picture that in your mind on maybe how old he was when he was created. And it says in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27, that he said, "Let us make man in our own image," like Cheryl said. He was made in the likeness of God, of Jesus Christ. And then he was given dominion over all the fish and the creeping things and the cattle, over all the earth. It was his job to tend the world. And he was God's crown jewel. This is what he made the whole world for, was for Adam, for mankind. God had a special plan for Adam. And God also had a special plan for Adam to let him choose. He was given that choice, just like we have choices today. He was given choices that he could do. But sin had not come into the world, and so he, in the image of God, he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Tells us that he was the first man. His name probably means man or mankind or earth or dust. Any of those can be what Adam's name means. But he was given a life-giving spirit. He was never going to die. What brought death? Sin. Satan had this plan. He wanted to destroy anything that God created. Their first home was Eden, a paradise. Can you imagine how beautiful it? Think of the most beautiful island. If you like islands, some of you don't like to go to the beach, but then think of the most beautiful mountain, snow-top mountain. Think of the most beautiful place that you've ever seen in your life. And that didn't even compare to what God had made for Adam and Eve in Eden, in the garden. And Adam was no prehistoric ape-like creature. He was a very smart individual, high intelligence. So everything that God did, he did it for Adam, but also he did it for another reason. He created Adam for another reason. And that was for fellowship. Adam was created to fellowship with God. He would come in the evenings, and him and Adam would walk, have a conversation, talk about the day. Wouldn't that be neat? How many of you ever just gone out to the country and just maybe you're something is heavy on your mind and you just go out, you want to get out where you can't hear any noise and you can't hear anything and you just want to talk to God and just commune with him. Maybe sing a song. Ask God, you know, what am I going to do about this? I've got this problem and I've got this going to happen. It's happening and you just want to get away and just feel that presence of God. That's what Adam felt. Every evening after he worked, and it wasn't work, it was enjoyment. He was enjoying that time, naming all the animals and eating the fruit off of a nice tree and just having a good old time. But there was something that God told Adam, and then eventually when he created Eve, that there was something that he could not do. And what was that? Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what's so wrong about that tree? Adam had no knowledge of evil. And God wanted it that way. And I'm sure it was God had set the stage for Adam and Eve. And I think he put that tree in there because he wanted to see if Adam would be obedient. Because, you know, God knows everything. He knew from the foundation of the earth, when God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were talking about what they were going to do, they knew man was going to fall. But they wanted Adam to have that choice. And God does that to us. We have that choice to do good or evil or right and wrong. And God brings those situations into our lives, and He's saying, "They're going to do it. They're going to be strong. They're not going to mess up." And many times we don't. We don't. Many times we do. But God knows that no matter what, He's still going to love us. But God had told Adam that he could eat from any other tree in the garden but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't say how many trees were in that garden, but I'm sure there was quite a few trees in that garden. So how, you know, a little kid, you say he's got all these things and toys and everything to play with, and what do? They go right for the light switch. Every time. Trying to stick something in that light switch. I know Leslie, when she was a little, she was just maybe two. She had a key, put a key in her mouth, and then was crawling up to the light switch. And David walked in and, "Leslie!" And I come running out. What in the world? He scared the kid. But, you know, God's up there going, "Don't do that. Oh, my gosh, don't do that." And we still go right and do it. But God doesn't tell us how many, but I'm sure there were thousands of trees in that garden. And they only had to obey and not eat that one tree. And if it would have been us, if it would have been me that was in the garden, I probably would have failed the test too. So let's don't be too hard on Adam, because I'm sure we would have eventually. It doesn't tell us how long Adam was in the garden before they fell. It doesn't give us a time frame. It does say that he enjoyed their time there. I'm sure as many animals there is, he was in there quite a while if he named all the animals. I wonder where he came up with the name elephant. Platypus. Yeah. I mean, some of them are very logical. Starfish. It looks like a star. But I think it's pretty cool. And then God also allows Satan to roam the garden. And to me, that makes us realize that God allows Satan to roam in our gardens, in our backyard, in our house, seeing and hoping that he's sitting back and saying, "Please, please be strong. I'm here for you. Talk to me. Let's talk this over before you decide to make any kind of decision that you've done." But whenever Eve comes along, he says that, notices that, and we'll talk a little more about Eve next week. Eve comes along, God takes and says, "Adam, I think you need a helpmate. I think you need somebody to talk to." They were together 24 hours a day. How many of you could spend that 24 hours a day with your spouse? You do, huh? How well does that work? No. and it says that they ran around naked. We think of if somebody would run around naked. Oh my God! I poked my eyes out. Yeah. Because it always comes back to yes. We think it's wrong. This is a little side note, okay? You've heard Leslie saying that Troy is having such a tough year at school. Since Troy was little bitty baby, he pointed with his finger. Okay? He would sit and do this, and he would point and read with his finger. He was in class back in the fall, and he was sitting there doing this, thinking. And two little kids went to the teacher and said, "Troy's making bad gesture," or whatever they said to him, to me. They sent Troy to the principal's office. He had no clue. I just point with that. He did not know that that was wrong. We are the ones that make that bad. There's nothing wrong with pointing whatever finger you point with. But in our mind, sin has made that wrong. Jeffrey was, now you got to realize, Jeffrey, and you don't, can't believe this, but when Jeffrey was in the fourth grade, he was probably this tall. I still carried him. I carried him everywhere we went. It was easier to do that than run after him. And so he came home from school, and he goes, Mom, I can't go back to school. And I said, Jeffrey, what's wrong? What have you done? I can't go back to school because I'm afraid I'll say it. And I said, say what? What are you going to say? He says, well, the teacher said if we say it ever again, we're going to get sent to the principal's office. I said, son, what are you going to say? What is so bad? He says, I don't know. It's something like frock or something like that. I don't know. I said, you're not going to say anything bad, so don't worry about it. Oh, but anyway, wouldn't it be nice to be innocent like a little kid anymore? And that's how Adam was. It was so they ran around. Nothing was shameful. No guilt. No condemnation for running around with power in nature like they were. But because of Satan deceiving Eve, and then Adam making the choice to eat of that apple or whatever fruit it was. We call it an apple, poor apple. Got a thing all its life. But their eyes were open to sin. And as soon as they did that, they knew they had sinned. And they went and sowed leaves to cover up. Why? They were the only two people in the garden. Why would they have to cover up? But they felt shame and guilt and condemnation immediately when they took and did that transgression, that sin against God. They knew that they had done wrong. They lost all their innocence, all their purity. They tried to cover up. And what do we do when we sin? We try to cover it up, don't we? We make excuses. Oh, it's just a little white lie. You know, that would just keep that person from feeling so bad. I'm gonna tell them something that's not quite true, so they don't feel quite so bad. That's still a sin. That's still a lie. And if you notice back last week when we talked about Revelation, it said lying was not going to be in heaven. Boy, God kind of puts that as one of the main sins, because when we lie, we tell something false against somebody else. But now they have eaten of the tree of good and evil. Satan has thank God he had foiled the plan. This plan he's destroyed God's plan. He's destroyed man. And so he is so excited. And then God will come back and tell us, well, because of the consequences of Adam's sin, there's some things that he will happen to him and Eve. Number one, they lost it all. They lost it all. Can you imagine living in a beautiful mansion and have servants and don't have to care for anything? It's just nice, and wouldn't that be nice? They lost it all. They lost their home. They lost the most beautiful place in the world. they lost their, number one, they were banished from the garden. And you know why they were banished from the garden? There was another tree in that garden called the tree of life. And God banished them from that so that they would not partake of that tree of life, because God did not want them to live forever now being sinful. And now they're going to die. That's another thing that happened to them. Now they're going to die. But God, first of all, when they sinned and they sold their fig leaves, and God confronts them, fixing to tell them what their punishment is, God kills something, doesn't he? He kills a lamb or kills an animal, takes that skin and makes them clothing. So when we sin, the wages of sin is death. When we sin, something has to die. And the Jews did that for years. They killed an animal every year to sacrifice, to cover their sin for that year, their family. But Jesus, when he died once and for all, that now we no longer have to die in our sin. But number one, they were banished from the garden. He drove them off. In Genesis 3:24, it says, "So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." So they cannot get back into the garden. Do you think they ever went back? Went back to where the angel was, and wondered, can we get back in? Let us back in. We don't like it out here anymore, because now the earth is cursed. Now God will curse the earth, curse them, their descendants, and earth in general. So now Adam has to work. Before it was fun. Now he has to work. I was telling Landry the other day, I think it was Savannah last week, I said, enjoy your last few months in school, and then enjoy college, because then for 40-some years after that, you're going to have to work. They really want to get out and work? No, not me. Adam now has to work and sweat for his food. And everyone since Adam has had to toil and work for our food. No work, no money, no food. You know, that's kind of the way it is nowadays, isn't it? And it explains why so many bad things keep happening here on this earth, because it's cursed. Why are so many people sick? Why are there so many diseases, illnesses? Why are we aging? Why is this world corrupt? It's all because of the curse that's on this earth and upon mankind because of Adam and Eve. So a mixture of both life and death happened with Adam and Eve sinning. You know, some people live a long life. Some people die as infants. Why? Because of the curse. Why do some people get cancer and some people don't? Because of the curse. Why do why do we age? The curse. It's sad. But this is this is the world that we live in. We live in a world that's full of bad people, unsaved people that are. And not all unsaved people are bad. There are Christians that are bad. But we live in a world where this curse has caused so much killings and illnesses and everything. But one of these days, as we learned last week, this earth is going to pass away. But whenever God banished them from the garden, he also made a prophetic statement. And it's found in Genesis 3:15, where it says, he directly said this to Satan. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." that was such a prophetic about Jesus Christ coming through a woman, and then he's going to bruise Christ's heel. And when I was doing some reading, whenever you're crucified because you're pushing up so much to breathe, it says it bruises, it crushes their heels. Kind of prophetic like that, but yeah. And you know, however, Satan had no idea what God was talking about, apparently, or he would not have crucified Jesus Christ. Because when he crucified Jesus Christ, the plan was set. And so we're very thankful about that. And so that comes back to, as I made the statement before, Adam and Eve, the whole thing, it comes back to being born again. If you've never been born again, we, because of Satan, because of the sin that Adam did and sin came upon the whole world, we are all sinners. But we must be born again. It says, unless one is born, in John 3:3 and 5, it says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. God made a plan. He made an escape. He made a plan B, that even though Adam messed up plan A, he has a plan B through Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And unless this world accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are doomed. They are doomed. And, you know, people say, that's not fair. I just don't believe that. That's not fair. Why would a loving God that created this world for us send anybody to hell? It's just like Adam. Adam had a choice. He could have chose not to sin and followed Satan. And we all have a choice. And I like to tell people, if you can create a world by just saying it, and all the fish and animals, and then create man, then go build your world and have your rules. But I think God did this one. And you're on this planet, so you have to follow by God's rules. It's kind of tough to follow rules, I tell you. But Adam and Eve messed up. We mess up. Some things to learn. And just kind of go over the things about Adam. Adam was created from the dust of the ground. He was the crown jewel of God's creation. He was created really fully grown, able to reproduce offspring. He lived. Do you know how long he lived? 930 years. It says that in Genesis 5:5, it says, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Whew, I think 62 years is a long time. 930 years? Wow. And knowing back, knowing in all those years, he messed up. But God loved him. And God took care of him. He was able to produce. He is the father of humanity. How long Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, we really don't know. He wasn't a prehistoric ape-like creature, but he was very highly intelligent. And once they sinned, it's funny that in chapter 3, verses 4 through 5, which is not funny, but it says, then the serpent said unto the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. It brings in the three avenues of sin: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He hit all three of those with Eve. She didn't have a chance. But he tempted her. And then, like you said, Eve was deceived, but Adam chose to sin. Soon as they sinned, they read and hid from the presence of God. And God killed an animal to cover, give them clothing. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. They bore children after they left the garden. They had to work for the rest of their life. And Eve, it says that when she was in childbearing, that it would be painful. How many want to talk to Eve when we get there? That's the reason why I only had two. But apparently, she would have produced children before if they had not fallen, but it apparently would not have been painful. But, and those of you that didn't have painful births, I hate you. But no. And they were faithful to God. Even after that, they were faithful to God. It didn't say how many children they had. We do know of three. But it says they had Cain, Abel, Seth, and other children. And they were never able to go back into the Garden of Eden after they sinned. But God loved them. He still loved them. He took care of them. And what it tells us, it's a tragic story about Adam. But God loves us when we fail too. But we need to work daily not to disappoint God. To me, that's what it hurts me the most when I sin, is I know I disappointed. I always was one, as a kid, I saw my sisters and older brother do so many bad things to my parents, and I said I did not want to do that to them. I didn't want to disappoint them, and to me that kept me from doing a lot of things, because I did not want to disappoint them. And it's the same way with God. I don't want to sin because I don't want to disappoint God. But we will study Eve. Look up as much as you can about Eve next week, and we'll study about her. And then again, the next week we will do the three sons of Adam and Eve. And you say, well, how did the population grow? This is a different world than what we live in today. So we'll find out, probably siblings, married siblings. So different world. Don't think that happens today. It shouldn't happen today. But because of things that God will eventually say, you know, that is not right to do. But the world had to grow. The population had to grow. Thank you guys for coming. And, yeah, bring a notebook again. And Mr. Robert, would you dismiss us in prayer?